Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you.
Live
from the Fantasy Sports Network studio. As I mentioned, we're glad that you guys could join us on this Wednesday afternoon. A lot to get to today. We have a lot of Macs in the house. Andy McNamara, Justin McMahon. We're going to talk some NFL. So we're going to get to all their plays, and then we're going to do some NBA as well.
Yeah.
McMahon.
Because there's no big three in Cleveland tonight.
There is no big three in Cleveland.
Wrestling them all.
So what does that mean?
Tyronn Lue felt like it.
Do you go Grizzlies and hope it's a blowout, or do you go young Cavs and hope that they've learned enough from their counterparts to kind of give the Grizzlies a good game, even though somehow Memphis, no matter what, no matter everyone just gets their leg chopped off, they're still winning games fifth in the Western Conference. They managed to find a way, but we're going to get into some injuries. Speaking of your leg getting cut off, AJ Green looked as though he had a serious issue. People were saying that he had tore his hand, or his quad, I believe it was, in the back of his leg, but it was a hamstring strain. He still missed time, though, but looking to come back this week, Chris.
Yeah, Marvin Lewis said yesterday that he expects him to practice today. So again, we are live, so we don't know officially what the word is and if he's practiced. So just keep an eye on that situation. I said yesterday that I do think he's going to play in this football game, and if he plays, I'm playing him because it's AJ Green, and I know it's a tough matchup. These are division rivals, the Steelers and the Bengals, but I don't care. I'm not leaving AJ Green on my bench. I have to have really good wide receivers, and with some of these top tier wide receivers, we'll get to Julio in a second, and some other guys just not showing up lately, I want AJ Green. And I saw from him 2 weeks ago when the Bengals played the Eagles pregame, he was running and guys were like wrapped on, you know, that string, and he was just running right through it. You know what I mean?
Did he break through it?
You did this in high
school
football.
Yeah. In high school football.
College football.
Actually, when I was in school, they didn't let girls play football.
Okay, well,
Chris,
after high school, I knew that you did that training drill before. Don't throw me under the bus.
I did it with basketball, though. And yes, he is very powerful. He's someone that you want. And you talked about Marvin Lewis's quotes 2 days ago. He was like, I feel like the outlook is partially sunny.
Well, you know what?
You make plans to go outside on partially sunny days, especially when it's in December, because whether or not it's snowing, you have that little bright spot. And as you mentioned, AJ Green definitely gives you that upside, obviously.
Yeah, no, I like it. I saw what he did 2 weeks ago on the football field before the game, and I was encouraged to see that.
And then he actually went out and bought a resistance band, and at home ties it to the door.
And I couldn't do it. I struggled. I could hardly get out of bed to get here today. Julio Jones, also struggling.
Yes.
But the word before we came on is that he's day-to-day, definitely improving. It's a sprained toe, not turf toe. That's good news. I said yesterday in the Pat Mayo Hour, you know, Pat ranked him like wide receiver 22, 23, 24, obviously like one of those 20s. But like... to rank him, you know, you have to obviously see if he's going to play.
Sure.
I don't think he's going to play in this football game. They went into L.A. They beat the Rams without Julio Jones. They're at home playing the San Francisco 49ers. Let's be real here. Atlanta does not need Julio Jones to beat the 49ers. They need Julio Jones to be healthy come playoff time. And the Atlanta Falcons right now are on their way to the playoffs. And they got a team in Tampa Bay just behind them. So they need him for next week. They don't need him for this week. I have some issues with him. He does enough in the first half of football games to, you know, give you fantasy output, give you some points that you need, and that's what you want. I mean, that's why to me he's still a wide receiver one. If he plays, he's still like a top 12 wide receiver guy for me, and I'm going to play him. But don't be... I mean,
I don't know.
If he sits out in the second half, that shouldn't be a surprise to you that he may sit in the second half of this football game. We've seen him before have wicked first quarters and just not even show up in the second half, and he's healthy. So,
and because they're playing San Francisco, so there's two things to consider. They're not going to also rush back Mohamed Sanu from his injury because San Francisco's terrible and they should be able to beat them. What that also means is that Taylor Gabriel should have another big day. He's set up for that. And the game script could just be different. San Francisco's run defense is absolutely terrible. So Taylor Gabriel might be the beneficiary of some of Matt Ryan's passes, but he only threw 28 times, his lowest amount since week 5, and that was without Julio. And in week 5, where he threw 28 times, which was one of his lower pass attempt days on the season, Julio had 2 receptions for 29 yards. So without him, their mentality changes. When you have Devontae Freeman, when you have Tevin Coleman, who had a huge week last week, you need to use your air attack less. And against San Francisco, you need to use it even less than that.
Yeah, I mean, they can beat them with both running backs. Run the ball.
That's it.
I think if you probably don't have both Falcon backs, but you can get by playing Freeman and Tevin Coleman this week. And for Gabriel, 5 TDs in his last 6 games. He's got 44 plus yards in all 6 of those games. So yeah, go ahead and play this guy.
Guys, Adrian Peterson is coming back maybe in week 16. So he was running a couple weeks ago, not necessarily at full strength, but now he's on the field and he's cutting. He's doing drills. He's not going to play against the Jaguars this week, but his hope is that if the Vikings are in contention, he's going to play week 16 against Green Bay. That would be a huge NFC North matchup. Now, both are 7-6 at this point in time in Green Bay. So he wants revenge and he wants to make the playoffs. And at this point, both of these teams to get into the postseason need to run the table. So if they both win this week and then head into week 16 against each other, that would be a huge game. I think it's absolutely ridiculous to have him on the field, even in an instance where he wants to play. He's a competitor, of course, but you have to think long term, someone who's suffered so many injuries, he's going to have the rust. For me, if he's playing, I don't know if I would not put him on my roster if you have him, just because I don't think that he's someone that would come back unless he felt like he would be able to contribute.
Fair.
And I think he has a pretty good handle on what his physical capabilities are after everything that he's been through, but I think it's just a huge risk to have him out there.
And a pretty good track record when people doubt him. He just seems to come back. It's all about context.
Human.
What guys do you have? It's all about context. So I don't think that I would play him. I don't expect much from him if he plays week 16. You know what? The Vikings could lose this weekend and he may decide that he doesn't want to play because there's
he doesn't need to play.
Yeah, let's get to Desmond. I really want to talk about Desmond. The Knicks are the Knicks. I mean,
we'll get into that later.
We'll get into them later on. Derek Rose, if he has one good game, just go ahead and trade him. But for Colorado, I mean, they signed Ian Desmond. This is a good move for them, but it's interesting to see what they're going to do. Is he going to play first base? Because they got a lot of guys in the outfield in Colorado. They got Parra, they got Cargo, they got Blackman. He's not going to play second or short base. They got Trevor Story, DJ LeMahieu there. This is a guy who's played second and short base his whole career until last year with Texas. They took a shot on him, and he played wicked in the outfield. In center field, he was a terrific defender. So look for maybe Colorado to make a move. They also have David Dahl, who's a nice prospect we saw towards the end of last season. So I don't think there's any room for Desmond in outfield. But this is as a player who had a 2020 season last year, his fourth 2020 season of his career. He can certainly do that again, and I like the fact that he plays in Colorado. I mean, the ball's
it
just
it never hurts
out.
Your bat, does
it? Of course.
5-year, $7 million contract for Desmond, of course. But the good news for Colorado is that he is versatile. So regardless of where they use him, the team is going to get better, and he's multi-purpose.
He might be a guy that you really need to have in fantasy. He's probably going to have second, short, outfield, and first this season.
Eligibilities?
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. I like that a lot.
That's big time. And so is Andy McNamara. He's pretty big time. He's a host on TSN 4 Downs on TSN 1050. We're going to have him on the show in just a little minute. He's going to be in studio, guys. I guess. Ooh. In here. It's going to be amazing.
Come back.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As promised, Andy McNamara joins us now on the desk. He's the host of TSN 4 Downs on TSN 1050 and 1150 Radio. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me back, guys. A pleasure.
Yeah, we voted. You did a pretty good job last time. And so we're like, why don't we just bring Andy back on and we'll have a good time with it.
Love it.
And we love the show on Saturday mornings, too. You and I were talking before you came on here about Bilal Powell and how you've owned him a couple times on separate occasions. He's probably the hot waiver wire pickup if you know he's available in leagues, but now that he's the guy with no Matt Forte, hearing some cracking and popping in his knee, what do you expect from Powell?
Like, that is never good
this week, but the rest of the season, this guy could potentially be a big part of a fantasy football championship or something.
Absolutely right. And he's typically still around 60% of leagues he's owned in, so you might actually be able to pick him up. And in daily, if he's going to be the man, we've seen Powell be able to convert as a true dual threat back, and with that cracking and popping, as you said, with Forte. Listen, the Jets season is done. If you're in New York, why would you play him? Why would you risk further injury? Get Powell out there and as you said, possibly could win your league or at least get you some good payouts on daily tournaments.
And Powell, you know, they're taking on Miami, so they're the 22nd ranked defense in terms of rush yards allowed. Only 5 touchdowns, though. Do you think he's kind of the real deal, or are you willing to just bet on him a little bit because of the sheer volume?
Powell has been so frustrating because, as Chris said, I've owned him a couple times, and I always pick him up just when he's hit that peak and he tumbles down.
Yeah,
and
it he's burned me a few times too.
It drives me crazy. But he's never been the guy without forte in the pitcher. Mm-hmm. So that's a totally different situation. And with Powell being the true dual threat back, especially in PPR, you know he's going to get touches. He went off for 179 total yards last week. And so if the rushing game isn't working directly, well, you can still toss it to him out of the backfield. So I'm willing to bet against that Miami team, which has been is going to be struggling without Tannehill, a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'll go with Powell.
What I like about Powell, as you touched on it, is the catches. And in a PPR mm-hmm. format, I mean, this guy's for real. Last year, he had 25 catches in his last four games. He had 47 on the season. He had games like 8 catches for 91 yards, 7 for 54, 5 for 46, 5 for 34. So, I mean, some running backs don't even get those rushing yards.
Or, right.
I made a bet in the office with somebody before we came on, and you witnessed it. And I said that Powell will be better in PPR format than Spencer Ware. Do you
agree
with that?
100%. I think the guy you bet with is going to get swindled. I think it's a great bet. Definitely going to go with Powell.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Rams a little bit. They've been in some turmoil. Excuse me. We were talking a little bit earlier, actually, in the season about Todd Gurley and his value would be increased, although he's not getting those rushing yards because the offensive line has been struggling. They won't use him in the passing game like Powell is expected to. But their passing game in general is going to be a little bit of a mess. They're taking on Seattle. Jared Goff is in Seattle, not even at home, so he's not going to be able to hear anything. Jeff Fisher got canned. Yeah. They're just a disaster. So in that offense, was there someone that you were kind of like, you know, maybe they could break out for one or two good games, and now you're just completely off of?
I'm off Tavon Austin. Yeah. And he always has that home run threat, right? There's always the chance you could chuck one up and maybe Seattle's defense is sleeping for one play, and maybe. But I'm not confident in that, guys. Remember, too, this is a short week.
Yeah,
right?
Thursday.
So you have your head coach is fired. Yeah. The team is turned upside down. You're 4-9 on the year. And it's a short week. Oh, and that Seattle defense, pretty good. The Legion of Boom,
And they're coming off an embarrassing loss in Green Bay, coming back home where they haven't lost.
At home, and they haven't lost at home. So Tavon Austin, way down. Really, that whole Rams offense, I'm not biting on anybody. I would stay clearly away from L.A. this week.
Even Todd Gurley, I mean, his quote, this is a middle school offense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he said
before he was fired.
That game. And then hours later, Jeff Fisher's fired. He's fighting with Dickerson. I mean, everybody is fighting
He's fighting with Goff on the sideline. He's giving him a piece of his mind.
Right.
How embarrassing.
It's a mess.
Everybody, even Kenny Britt, who we've seen show up lately.
You know what? Like for Todd Gurley specifically, if you're in your league playoffs, and we know how difficult the running back position has been this year, I'm not going to tell you not to start Gurley if you have no other option. But ideally, I would not.
Okay. How about this? How about Todd Gurley is on your roster in season long.
Yeah.
Powell is on your waivers, and you can get him off the waiver wire. Who are you going with?
Oh, I'd go Powell this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Doesn't that sound crazy?
It does. Imagine. It sounds absolutely insane. Here's a crazy person in our studio.
Because before the season started, we've had people come on this show, Andy, and tell us, I mean, that Todd Gurley should be first overall pick.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm not saying that anybody that said that is crazy. I mean, we
made
all
sense
thought
at the
that
time.
He could potentially lead the league in rushing yards. I mean,
hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah, I mean, we thought volume alone that this guy could get it done. I mean, last year, towards the end of the season, he had great games. I mean, even against Seattle, he had one good game. But I mean, that offense is just, they're not moving the ball, and it's not great.
It was funny, too, how the two rookies from last year swapped, right? Yeah, Melvin Gordon, who was a disappointment, and Todd Gurley was lights out, and now it's totally reversed this year with Gordon.
One thing that I like about your show and one of the articles that you write on TSN.ca, you're always looking for a Hail Mary start.
Yes.
And like, let's go to Minnesota, and it's not Stephon Diggs, it's somebody else that you like.
Adam Thielen. Love him. And you know what? It surprised me. Yesterday, he was still owned in less than 80% of leagues. Like, how is he still around? The reason being, last 6 weeks, the guy has consistently put up double-digit points in PPR. Okay, he's not flashy, 6'2", 200 pounds, doesn't jump off the page with size or speed, but he's consistent. He moves the chains. And for Indianapolis, their 26th ranked pass defense, they're going to focus on Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Right? So that frees up Thielen, and you're going to be able to give him those little chunk plays here and there. Bradford's super conservative. What's a conservative quarterback's best friend? Nice little intermediate safe routes. That's what Thielen is. And if you're looking at a flex or a WR3 in your playoffs, or as a cheap option in daily, I would take that. Would you not take in your playoffs?
I think he's like $4,800 on DraftKings or something this week. So tons of cap relief if you like feeling. And the thing that I really like about him is that just his story, honestly. You like to hear underdogs. Born and raised in Minnesota. Yes. Went to Minnesota State University. His scholarship was $500. Okay? It's called the Maverick Scholarship. They offered him $500. Come play for our D2 school. He's like, all right, sounds good. Not a lot of clout with Minnesota State University. No. But now he's here and he's about to have a really, really good week.
Undrafted guy. And you love those stories, right? Yeah. And you know he's going to have to work really hard, and he's had to his whole life to get to this point. So now being able to step up and be ascending at the right time of year.
And a nice play on DraftKings, I'm glad you brought that up, because you know the strategy lately has just been just play Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson at running back and just pay down for some of these wide receivers.
Right.
Would you, Ashley kind of called you crazy, we were joking, but would you play Bradford in a season-long league? I know it's tough to say, but there are some quarterbacks with some bad matchups this week. I mean, Luck is in Minnesota. We just talked about that. You see Bradford on the board. His numbers are, they don't really blow you away.
Look at
his
ADOT
is 6.6.
He knows it too. He's like,
these guys are thinking about playing me. But like, you got Brady who's in Denver. Yeah. Luck in Minnesota.
Ben has a tough one
in Cincinnati. Yep. Stafford's got the finger issue in New York to take on the Giants. Breeze is in Arizona. There's some tough quarterback matchups. I don't know if I'd go that crazy, but maybe in a two quarterback league, could you get by with playing him against the Colts?
You know what? As nuts as it sounds, and it's because, again, 26 ranked pass defense for the Colts. We know, and it could get into a shootout too, right? We know the Colts can put up big numbers, so you look for those situations where Bradford might be forced to go to the air. So again, as nuts as that sounds, it's not that crazy this week.
All right, we got to get out of here, Andy, but we thank you so much for your time. But very, very quickly, and I know producer Raj is going to kill me, sorry, but Cleveland Browns fan, yes?
Yes.
0-13 right now, yes? Yeah. Buffalo, San Diego, Pittsburgh. Do they run the table in the wrong way?
Listen, the perfect disaster season.
Yes.
San Diego Chargers is where they get their win because cross country, Christmas Eve, warm weather team, San Diego, the Browns get their one and only win.
A 6-3 game in a blizzard.
Yes. Oh, and you need a blizzard. So.
Wishful thinking, Andy. We love you to death. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you again soon. Stay tuned. We're going to do some NBA DFS coming up on FST. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Pivoting off the NFL and hitting the NBA because there's 10 games on the hardwood tonight. So from Daily Fantasy Insiders, Justin McMahon joins us now. How are you, sir? You had a good weekend, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I had a lot of good stuff happen with the NFL primetime slate. And last night, the NHL Super Monster, I almost took that down, too. I needed one more goal. But it was a lot of fun.
You and Daily Fantasy Insider, you guys are doing some great stuff. We appreciate your time here today. Hopefully the luck can carry over here today. Talk some NBA. And I just want to start with the Cavs because this is a back-to-back Cleveland and Memphis. They played last night. But Tyronn Lue, right after the game, he said the big three, Love, LeBron, Kyrie, not playing tonight. So what do you do here? Like, who's going to step up? I think the obvious play is J.R. Smith. But what do you think his ownership? Are you going to dare fade J.R. Smith and all those threes he's going to take tonight?
Yeah, so in the last 15 days, Amon Shumpert actually ranks fourth in field goal attempts, and J.R. Smith ranks fifth. Obviously, the big three are number one, two, and three. So with them all resting, Smith is definitely capable of getting hot in an instant. Like you said, he might chuck up 20 threes. But it's Shumpert that actually possesses the highest floor, and he has the upside to really be considered a must-have tonight.
Go ahead.
In 26 minutes without LeBron, Love, Irving, or Mo Williams on the court, Shumpert is averaging 1.6 DraftKings points per minute. So he has tremendous upside. Even if you cut his fantasy production in half to 0.8 fantasy points per minute, he would still crush value in 30 minutes of playing time. So he'll probably be highly owned, as will J.R. Smith. But with both of them under 4,000, you could definitely consider putting both of them in your shooting guard spots. But at the very least, I think you have to play Shumpert. And he's a Daily Fantasy Insider must-have tonight.
Oh, nice. I like that. And especially Shumpert, he's going to touch a bit more categories than J.R. Smith. If his shot's off, you're probably going to get diminished in value a little bit. You're not interested in any of those other guys that might get some run, maybe Kay Felder, maybe Jordan McRae. You're just going to stay away from those guys completely?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to predict which of those guys will have big games. And on a 10-game slate, there's so much value elsewhere that it just doesn't seem necessary to try and pick one of those guys. And you're really playing with wildfire. They might do absolutely nothing.
Is there anybody on the other side of that game, Memphis, that you like? I mean, they're a hard team to figure out. Guys are resting all the time. Last night, I thought maybe Zach Randolph could put a big game, and he kind of disappointed me. Is there anybody from that side of the game that you like?
Yeah, well, we really liked Randolph last night and Jarrell Martin, and they didn't really go off. They hit value, but that's about it. We kind of like Andrew Harrison considering how cheap he stayed on FanDuel. He definitely has the potential to have a huge game that he hasn't really had yet. So with pretty weak defending on the other side of the ball tonight, he might be able to put up a big game.
Speaking of big games, a high scoring projection for the LA Lakers taking on the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Is there anyone that you're looking to in this game? Because we know when there's no defense on the court, it means a really, really good game for guys that are going to be on your roster.
Yeah, last time those teams played, they put up, I think, 243 points. So tonight, the total is 228, and the spread is only 1.5 in favor of the Nets. So last time they played, the Nets were missing Jeremy Lin, and Bogdanovich put up 29. Booker had a double-double, and Lopez surprisingly had a double-double, even though he almost never chooses to rebound. But he had 30 and 10 last time. And Randall had his only triple-double of the season. So there's a lot of potential. I like Julius Randle. I think he can really body up these big guys with the Nets. And they don't think those guys can stay with him, which is how he ended up with 10 assists. They really let him have the ball in his hands a lot. So Julius Randle's a guy that I like. I think this game could underperform expectations a little bit. The Lakers on the road average 10 less points than they do at home. And the Nets actually average less points at home than they do on the road. So I don't know how much you want to read into that, but a 10-point split differential is pretty big. And the Lakers are a pretty young team, so it makes sense that they would play better at home. Yeah. So we'll see. It's tough to predict exactly who will have a big game.
That's very interesting, actually. Like, both 10 fewer on the road, 10 fewer at
home.
Yeah,
opposite of what you would think.
Okay, you mentioned all kinds of value. We have to talk Russell Westbrook and James Harden. We just have to. I want to know how often you're playing Westbrook. And this is a different matchup for him tonight because they play against the Jazz, and this is one of the slowest-paced teams in the NBA.
Yeah, the Jazz are the second slowest pace, and they allow the absolute lowest points per game to opposing point guards. So it's going to be tough for Westbrook to hit value. I probably will not play him because his price is just so high. Yeah, I see it on the screen there, 12,000 on FanDuel. He's only cracked 50 fantasy points twice in his last 9 meetings with Utah. Obviously, that goes back to when he had Kevin Durant on his team, but it still seems like a tough matchup for him. And a lot of people like him more with Oladipo questionable. But when Oladipo's not on the floor, Westbrook's usage rate is exactly the same. So the only guy who really benefits without Oladipo is surprisingly Steven Adams. And it's quite a lot of minutes, pretty big sample size. Adams definitely plays better. We like him on DraftKings maybe as your second center, but probably not who we'll go with as our first center on FanDuel.
So does that make you go pay up for James Harden then in this situation as opposed to just fading Westbrook?
You know, you could pay up for Harden if you decide to go without J.R. Smith. But on FanDuel, if you go Smith and Shumpert, then you're going to... You could fade those top two superstars and really make a unique lineup. I know the super monster tonight is paying out 100K to first, so you're going to want to differentiate yourself in some way, and that could be it.
Would that mean that maybe you go what people kind of don't want to do unless Sacramento's playing the Raptors, and that's maybe go with some of those guys because they're taking on Houston. Rudy Gay is out. He has a hip injury. Ben McLemore, he has a bruised quad, so he's not going to play today. Omri Caspi seems to be the guy who's going to slot into there, but what about Darren Collison as well, because with Rudy Gay out, that's around 15 field goal attempts every game that they're missing, so it has to go somewhere.
Yeah, we like Collison. If you try to look at the only game that Rudy Gay missed this year, and it was a 26-point blowout loss to the Bucks, so you really can't read into that because the nature of the blowout makes it hard to look at any stats from that game. And with Ben McLemore also listed a doubtful, we looked at the Kings' production when both of them are not on the floor, and in 139 minutes without both of those guys, DeMarcus Cousins sees his usage rate go up by 7.2% all the way up to 48% usage, which would easily be the top in the league. And he unsurprisingly manages 1.6 DraftKings point per minute in this situation. So he's the superstar that we're locking in tonight over Westbrook, over Harden. That's why we can't use Steven Adams on FanDuel. We've got to get DeMarcus Cousins in. He's priced around 11,500 on both sites. Mm-hmm. And we just think he's really likely to hit value, especially with the Rockets just being a below average team defending the center.
Well, we always feel like we hit value with you. So thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for having me.